Greetings and peace in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and welcome to Sound Doctrine, a radio ministry committed to preaching, teaching, and reaching. I want to speak with you today about a new heart, and we're going to take a look at Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 26 and 27, and I will be reading from the King James translation, and again, we're going to talk about a new heart, looking at Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 26 and 27. And the King James translation reads as follows. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. So as we are looking at this, a new heart obviously is something that we certainly cannot find on the shelf at any store. It's not something that man can manufacture himself, not as it relates to what God requires. When we think of the physical heart, as it were, which is not what the Lord is speaking about here, but when we think of the physical heart, we certainly are familiar, at least many of us are familiar with different heart conditions and heart surgeries and bypass and transplants and aortic valves and all of these different parts that have to do with the physical heart. And when you sort through all of this and when we consider how medical professionals work with the physical heart, we do realize, at least I hope we do, that man cannot give you a new heart. The most renowned surgeon cannot give you a new heart. A new heart comes from God alone. Let me say that again. A new heart comes from God alone. God says, a new heart also will I give you. This comes with the cleaning up, the calling out, the setting apart that God does in identifying his people. And so this speaks to the fact that everybody won't have a new heart, but all of God's people will have a new heart. And that's what I want to call your attention to when we point out that a new heart comes from God alone. That is to say that God identifies his people not based so much on the work that they start, but based on the work that he starts, what God performs in his people, what God has performed, what God is performing, what God will continue to perform. That's why we can look at the Vacation Bible School verse from Philippians 1:6, and we can say, being confident, as the Apostle Paul says, of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. God continues this newness that he requires. It is both instantaneous and it is continuous. And in this case, when we're speaking of this promise in the Old Testament that God communicates through the prophet Ezekiel, we see that this is the foretelling of the work that God will do in his people. And so it requires their belief that what God says he's going to do, even if they don't quite understand it, the prophet is speaking for God. God is speaking to his people through the prophet. And therefore, every word is important. And every word is a promise from God. A new heart also will I give you to my people. You can expect a new heart from me. And so where are you going to look for this new heart? Well, look no further than God, because he's the only one who can provide it. And he is the one who has promised it. And this is specifically for God's people. We are identified by a new heart. And when we again go back to the context here within the Old Testament, we say, well, they died before this promise was fulfilled, and yet it will still be performed in them. It will still be performed in them. those who God has called and set apart, he will perform what he promised to perform. Whether it be for those who receive it instantaneously in this life, or whether it be the fulfillment that is brought forth or brought to light for those who believed it, even though they did not receive it while they walked the earth. And this is why we talk about faith. This new heart that comes from God alone is a promise. And what do you need to please God as it relates to his promise? You need faith in what he communicates. The new heart that God will give to his people is for all of God's people. Rather, it be the New Testament or the Old Testament, this transformation, this new heart is necessary. And therefore, God provides to his people all that is necessary. He works in his people all that is necessary. And if we did not need a new heart, God would not give us one. And since we do need one, he gives us a new heart. Only God. This is what separates us, is that all that we need, all that we seek after as God's people is found in the one who provides and gives every good and perfect gift. And this new heart is no different. It's no different. So God makes this promise that comes from God alone. He's going to give us a new heart. Both Old Testament and New Testament believers, a new heart is required, and God provides it. It comes from God alone, and it is his promise to his people, a new heart. That is our thinking. That is our will. That is our mind. We must understand that this newness has to do with our feelings in relation to God. Our will in relation to God. The only way to please God is to know what pleases God. It's not just the desire, but it is also knowing and being able to please him. It is the desire with the ability, and the ability doesn't come apart from God. And that's why it's not just enough to know, but you've got to have the power to do. And that requires transformation from God. That's the new heart. We got to change our thinking, our feelings, our will, our intellect, as it were. The center of our being must be occupied and must be made new by God. Otherwise, we just have a bunch of junk inside of us. Man and flesh-focused desires, a will that is content with me and that desires only what I want. And unless the Lord gives me a new heart, a new way of thinking, a new way of feeling as it pertains to God himself, a new will that says, not my will, but thy will be done. Unless the Lord changes all of that in me, I'm left to myself, even if I desire to please God. And that's what was being experienced in the Old Testament. That's why God says, I know I've got to do a work within you. But he's not going to do it at this time because his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, had not been revealed yet. So he will not compromise that. But he speaks to the reality that this is going to be done. And it's only possible through Jesus Christ. This newness, this new heart, comes from God alone. And then the new heart comes with a new spirit. And this is what the Lord says also in verse 26 here in Ezekiel, the 36th chapter. And a new spirit will I put within you. So this is a deposit of a new spirit. This newness, this new heart comes with a new spirit. It's not either or, it is both and. This is a continual work of God, a new heart and a new spirit. He's giving us a new heart. He's putting within us a new spirit. And that is to say that he is also giving us a new spirit to dwell within us. So as the Lord is communicating this to his people of what must take place in transforming them, we realize that this is what has taken place within the New Testament believer. A new heart and a new spirit. God changes us. He doesn't just change us. He makes us new. That's why it's communicated in Paul's letter to the Corinthians. If any person be in Christ, that person is a new creation, a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We're new. The scripture speaks of the old man and the new man, the old man being put to death and the new man being brought to life or demonstrating and reflecting the life that we have through faith in Jesus Christ. And this is what this is about. It's about not just a new heart that comes from God alone, but a new heart that comes with a new spirit, this newness that God provides within us. God gives a new spirit for our inward parts. This is not cosmetic surgery. This is spiritual transformation. This is dealing with our internal person. This is dealing with the real you. You've got to be changed. You've got to be made new, and only God can do it. And then we look at a new heart replaces the old heart. This is what the Lord continues to speak to in verse 26 here in Ezekiel, the 36th chapter. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And that speaks to removing and replacing, taking away, casting out that stony heart and giving us a heart that feels. A heart that feels what? For who? A heart that desires God. A hard heart can't please God. A hard heart has no feeling. A hard heart is blinded. A hard heart is stuck in darkness. The only way to seek God, the only way to please God, the only way to serve God is to have a heart that feels for God, a heart that longs for God, a heart that desires to please God, a heart that is not callous and hard and blind and dark, but a heart that feels the light of God, a heart that knows the love of God, a heart that bows to the power of God, a heart that is thankful for the grace of God. That's what God gives us. He takes out that hard heart. And so many today are full of hardness in their hearts, and that is in their minds. The way that they think, they have no feeling. They have no desire for God. They have no fear of God. But God's people know, because God works this work in them. A new heart replaces the old heart. That stony heart is replaced by a heart of flesh, a heart that feels. And the Lord continues with his message to his people through Ezekiel, where he says in verse 27, "And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them." And so this points out that a new heart and a new spirit produce a new walk. And that's a question for us today. Is your walk new? If you claim that you have received a new heart from God, if you have been transformed by God, that means that you've also received a new spirit. And God says that he will put a new spirit within you. And that is not a spirit that passes by or comes and goes. He says within you. I know that there are some denominations that feel like the spirit comes, the spirit goes, and the spirit is here, and then he's not, and he can only. No, he says, I will put a new spirit within you. And I will put specifically in verse 27, my spirit within you. So this is how the Lord communicates this. He speaks first in verse 26 of a new heart and a new spirit that he's going to give and put within you. And then he very clearly communicates first about this process. I'm going to take away the stony heart, dealing with the heart, out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And then he speaks more specifically to the new spirit, and I will put my spirit within you. And this is how God is communicating this to his people, his work, what he's going to do. He promises a new heart. He promises a new heart and a new spirit within you. And then he speaks specifically that the new heart replaces the old heart. You're not just trying to dress up the old heart and do a little patchwork to it. You're speaking, you understand that God is speaking of taking out that hard heart and giving you a new heart. A heart that feels, a heart that desires, a heart that loves, a heart that knows God, that desires to please God. A heart that bows to God. And then he says that new heart and a new spirit produce a new walk. And this is what he's saying when he says in 27, I will put my spirit within you, my spirit within you, the Lord says, and cause you to walk in my statutes. This is what the Lord does. He puts his spirit within us, and this causes us to walk in accordance with what God purposes, with what God has appointed in his word, to what God has decreed as his ordinances, his statutes, what he says is necessary for us to follow in order to please him. And that's what this is about. A new heart and a new spirit produce a new walk. You cannot have a new heart and a new spirit in an old walk, and you cannot have a new walk without a new heart and a new spirit. Everything is new, as Paul says. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. This newness produces a new walk. A new heart and a new spirit produce a new walk. And we don't get credit for it. It's the Lord's work. He's speaking of himself with all that he's doing. I'm going to give you a new heart. I'm going to put a new spirit within you. I'm going to take out that stony heart and give you a heart of flesh. I'm going to put my spirit within you. And again, what does this produce? What is the result? He causes us to walk in his statutes. He causes us to walk according to what he decrees, to what he commands, to what he says we are to do, what he appoints for us, both in how we live and the work that he calls us to. We can't do this. We can't please God apart from God in us. And this is communicated in Romans. When we look at Romans 8, it makes it clear that they that are in the flesh cannot please God. This is Romans chapter 8, verse 8. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be that the spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So you don't belong to God apart from his spirit, apart from his making you new. And when, again, put this in the context of the Old Testament, they believed the promise that was to come, and that's how they were justified. They believed God that he would fulfill what he said he was going to. That's what happened with Abraham. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him as righteousness. So this is what is distinguishes the Old Testament saints is their faith. And this is what God calls us to in the New Testament. And the difference is we have seen or we have received the witness of the witnesses. We received the testimony of those who saw this fulfilled. That is the work that was done in order for God to give us this new heart and the new spirit, which is the spirit of Christ in us, the spirit of God in us. And this had to follow the work of Christ because God said it would. Christ had to do the work first, and then God fulfilled his promise. You'll find that in the book of Acts. Christ obeyed and did the work, and God fulfilled his promise. So when we look at what the Lord says concerning his spirit within us, it again causes us, he does, to walk in his statutes, to be obedient to him, and to keep his judgments and to do them. That is to observe the judgments of God. To walk in accordance with God's word. To keep what God has declared, what God has determined, what God purposes, what God has pronounced as right. And this is where a lot of us waver as it relates to what God says and what God calls us to. See, if we're new and God has put his spirit within us, there is no conflict when it comes to God's word, to God's judgments, to God's commandments, to not just hear them, but to do them. That's what God communicates to us. He says he's going to do his work. And the evidence must be demonstrated in our walk, and that is in our obedience to the word of God. And we waver. We want to please everybody. But this doesn't identify the people of God. No, no. The people of God have the Spirit of God within them, and therefore the people of God walk according to God's statutes. They walk according to his word. They live and observe or keep God's commandments, and they do them. This new heart and new spirit causes us to please God above all else, to seek God above all else, to worship God alone, to serve God alone, to follow Christ. There's no way to be transformed by God and to have no evidence of the transformation. There's no way. Otherwise, God has failed in what he's promised. But it is possible to claim to be made new and to not actually be new at all, and therefore to continue to live the life with the stony heart, without the Spirit of God, living according to the flesh and not living according to the newness that God promises to produce in the lives of his people. That's possible. But it's not because God has failed. It's because we're making a false claim. And what do we find in line with this? What do we find that God communicates in relation to this new heart and this new spirit, or the heart and the spirit, period? We find in Ezekiel chapter 18, as we talk about a new heart from Ezekiel chapter 36, we go back to Ezekiel chapter 18, and you will find in verse 31 that God speaks of casting away from you all your transgressions whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? God is speaking to those who he has called out, and he is pleading with them. He is calling them out of the transgressions. And why is this happening with them? Because they are living according to their flesh. And God says, make you a new heart and a new spirit. He's not saying that you have the ability to do it, but he's saying, give evidence, desire this. And yet we know that they can believe that God will perform it, but they had not experienced it in the fullness of Jesus Christ because he had not been revealed yet. And so God is again speaking prophetically through Ezekiel of the relationship between casting away your transgressions and having a new heart and a new spirit, because on the other side of transgression, that is sin, is death. And the only way to have life is to be made new by God. And the only way to be made new by God is through faith and to receive the new heart and the new spirit that comes only from God. So when God speaks of these transgressions in Ezekiel chapter 18, he is speaking of this revolt, this rebellion, this necessity of casting away your rebellion against God, all of your rebellion against God, and the evidence of your offenses, your revolt against him, your trespasses, your quarreling with God. He's saying, cast it away and make a new heart in a new spirit. And again, he's not calling them to manufacture this. He's calling them to desire and to know this experience that he gives. This new heart and this new spirit is the only way out of your transgression. Faith. Faith. Trusting God to give you a new heart and a new spirit. Otherwise, you die. And God speaks specifically to those who desire to know him. You've got to understand the relationship between transgressions and death and a new heart and a new spirit and life according to faith. And God gives this warning throughout Scripture. So this new heart comes only from God, comes from God alone. A new heart comes with a new spirit as communicated in Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 26 and 27. A new heart replaces the old heart, as the Lord communicates, and then a new heart and a new spirit produce a new walk. It's obedience to God. And again, we went back and looked at Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 31, where God says earlier on, as he speaks of this new heart and new spirit, he communicates these transgressions, and he tells his people, cast away these all of them whereby you've transgressed. You have rebelled against me. Cast off those transgressions and get a new heart and a new spirit. Do you want to die? Do you want to be separated from God? Do you not fear the Lord and desire to please him? And the scripture reminds us in Psalm chapter 34, verse 18, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. You got to have your heart broken. If you want God near, you've got to have your heart broken. You know, all heartbreak isn't bad, especially in relation to God. You've got to have a broken heart before you can have a beating heart. And the beating heart comes from God. But you've got to have a broken heart in your approach to God and understanding that when you're lowly, when you have experienced all the weight of this world, the weight of sin, the overwhelming weight of sin, that you've got to have a broken heart that desires for God to deliver you, to save you. And it's the same with the contrite spirit here in Psalm chapter 34, verse 18. It says, he saveth such as be of a contrite spirit, a crumbled spirit, a spirit that's beaten in pieces, that is humbled and oppressed. You're brought low. You're brought low, not just because of sin, but because of the circumstances of life as well. And God is near, and God saves. He delivers. He makes a way. He promises this newness. And the psalmist says in Psalm 51, verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Is that what you desire from God today? Because he says he'll give you a new heart and that he'll put a new spirit within us. And he specifies, I will put my spirit within you. Turn from your transgressions. Turn from your rebellion against God and know that he has a new heart and a new spirit for you that comes from him alone. That a new heart comes with a new spirit, that a new heart replaces the old hard heart, and that a new heart and a new spirit produce a new walk. God calls you to that through his son, Jesus Christ, who died for our sins and who was raised again on the third day with all power. And the Father fulfilled his promise that he would pour out his spirit to dwell in all those who repent or turn from sin and place their faith in his son, Jesus Christ. So come to God through Jesus Christ and know the newness of a new heart and a new spirit and a new walk, new life in Christ. Until the next time, remember to tell somebody how sweet it is to trust in Jesus. God bless you.